This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Brennan likes this thing. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. That is right. Check us out, markingout.com. Give us a like over on Facebook. Also, make sure that you are subscribed and downloading on Spotify and wherever else you are listening to podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating to go with that 5-star frog splash. Give us a follow over on TikTok at markingout. Also on Twitter at MarkingOut and on Instagram at MarkingOut11. Buy a t-shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/MarkingOut. You can give me a follow on all platforms at DavidPTDPT. Follow Chris at CMSweeney85 and Chris Sweendog. And you can follow Brandon at BTTG161. Brandon, how are you?
I am doing awesome as always. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic. How was your week?
It was pretty good. I celebrated Independence Day, July 4th, the America 250, I guess. I watched fireworks from everywhere. That was nice to see. The Carousel of Progress celebrated its final Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's an Independence Day scene in the remodel, but I don't think there is.
I did watch Independence Day.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Was it on TV?
They were doing a marathon. It was like, I think on FX, it was like Independence Day, and then the other remake that they did was really crappy. Because it was definitely really crappy. I couldn't pay attention to it.
What was the remake?
It's set in the future, and then the aliens somehow, they have weapons.
Is it Independence Day 2, or is it like...
Yeah, it's like Independence Day Resurrection, or it's Independence Day something. It's not actually Independence Day 2, but it's with...
It's Independence Day Resurgence.
Resurgence, yeah. Don't watch it. Don't watch it. But
apparently Independence Day 3 was almost a thing and got canceled because of Independence Day Resurgence being bad.
That's definitely a good thing. Definitely a good thing.
Well, it didn't have Will Smith.
Nope. I don't even think that Will Smith was going to help out this one. It was that bad.
I went out to an Italian spot in Farmingdale that's like kind of viral on social media.
Which spot?
I honestly don't know what it's called. It's a grocery store in literally a warehouse that has a sit-down spot attached to it. They say if you know, you know, with the Italian flag out front. And my dad was going there to meet up with some friends, so I went. It's not really a place I would want to go back to because it's just not like the kind of atmosphere I like being in. But the food was good. Mm-hmm. The rain.
What do you mean by like the atmosphere you don't like to be in?
It reminds me of sitting at like a Dunkin' Donuts or something eating.
Oh.
Like a place that you're not supposed to be at eating real food. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound...
But the food was good. The food was good. And the seats and tables and everything are fine for normal people. I'm not normal.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the food, but the rain on that day was absolutely insane. Like, there was flooding everywhere. So, that was crazy. It's right across the street from Wood Kingdom. You ever been to Wood Kingdom?
Never even heard of it.
Wow. It's where all the wood and stuff comes from.
What wooden stuff?
Like outdoor patio stuff and jungle gyms, whatever they're called.
Huh.
Yeah.
Sounds fascinating.
Sheds.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love going to Wood Kingdom.
Nice.
But yeah, that's how was your week?
It was good. Thank you for asking. It was good.
Obviously still getting over that Jersey sickness.
Yeah. You know? But definitely much better than the... For some reason, last recording, everything came out during that recording. Before the recording, it wasn't that bad. After the recording, wasn't that bad. During the recording...
Let's not jinx it.
Oof. During that recording, mucus city. That's for
wonderful.
Sure.
Well...
Yeah.
Well, what'd you do on July 4th?
Hung out with my parents. Hung out with my
Did
parents.
Did you eat a hot dog?
No, we had steak.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we cooked up some steaks and then took it easy, you know, watched maybe, I would say, 3 minutes of the TV, of the explosions on the TV, probably for 3 minutes.
The explosions?
Yeah, the fireworks.
I watched the ball drop,
on over
did
to
you?
House of, I'm sorry?
I watched the ball drop, did you?
No.
I figured, how could I not? It's maybe a once-in-a-lifetime experience there.
Yeah, I have no care for that. I didn't even know that was a thing until you texted me. I was in bed already. Well, that's how that happened.
So,
Monday Night Raw took place, kicking off with Sami Zayn, the champion.
Yeah, and he spoke to Cody Rhodes, and Gunther ended up attacking Cody Rhodes. Smashed his arm in Sammy's car door, and Nick Aldis showed up later on to yell at Gunther and Adam Pearce. And then even later on, Adam Pearce told Sami Zayn that he found an opponent. So we'll put a pin in that. I think the writing was on the wall there as is. And
Gunther totally took him out. You know?
But I have to assume, I mean, we're not speaking about SmackDown this week. I don't know if we'll see anything there with Gunther and Nick Aldis, but how do you not have a match between those two? I don't know. Maybe Cody Rhodes versus Gunther is the route for SummerSlam instead.
Yeah.
But after that, Monday Night Raw, you had Seth Rollins come out, and he spoke about the World Heavyweight Championship. He spoke about SummerSlam. He spoke about Roman Reigns, and he said that Roman Reigns was always going to be the guy. And unlike Roman, this was never about money for him. It was always about pro wrestling. And Roman needs to beat him at SummerSlam to prove to himself that he's not a fraud. Meanwhile, Seth has to beat Roman to prove to himself that through hard work, you can still achieve your dreams, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Then LA Knight interrupted and said that he's not listening to this same exact thing again. And LA Knight said that he remembers when you had to actually win something to become number one contender, to earn a title shot. Completely tore Seth Rollins apart. Completely tore Roman Reigns apart as well. He was absolutely on fire on Monday Night Raw. And Seth Rollins said LA Knight can be his first challenger after he beats Roman Reigns for that World Heavyweight Championship. He leaves. And then Jimmy Uso shows up, takes LA Knight out. And then later on, Jimmy was leaving, and LA Knight went after him, but Jacob Fatu bodied him and took him down.
He totally bodied him. Yeah. He just, it looked like he like went right into a brick wall.
I mean, he literally did into that. So
very true.
I mean, in a world... I don't see LA Knight winning the championship ever at this point, but in a perfect world, he would have or will win that championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of winning championships.
Yeah. Next up, you had The Vision pick up the victory over the Street Profits to become the new tag team champions. Now, this matchup was very entertaining. But big surprise at the end.
Before that, though, they spoke to Paul Heyman before this match. And Paul told Austin Theory to come back to him with the championships or don't come back at all. I thought that was a very interesting thing to add to that. And I don't know, for some reason in my head, I still didn't expect the Vision to win. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen with the Vision here. I don't know what's going to happen with Austin Theory, but he literally told him, don't come back to me, and that's going to be the end of Austin Theory and the Vision. But,
yeah, Logan Paul, I was surprised at all this, but it seems like Logan Paul, I don't know what Paul Heyman is going after with all this.
Well, I mean, obviously it's his Vision now.
Yeah.
And Logan Paul slid in the brass knucks. The referee saw him and kicked him from ringside on the other side of the ring when the referee was dealing with that. He tossed Bron Breakker brass knucks. And Dawkins ends up punching him, and they fell off. And then Austin Theory tried to get them. Dawkins ends up getting them. And that's when the huge shocking moment that we've seen, like, the writing has been on the wall, but because of the way that they went with it, I had no inkling whatsoever that they were going to do this. Even the news sites were like, Maxine is done. They're getting less and less use of her. They're not doing anything with Max. She showed up, low blow, Dawkins, cost them the championships, and seemingly joined the Vision.
Yeah, I gotta say that this was probably one of the most seamless low blows that have taken place, because it was just such a smooth transition of her running into the ring, low blow, and then the finale of the matchup. I thought it was a good transition at the end of there.
Yeah, and then the Vision later on drove off, and Alpha Academy looked shocked, disappointed. With Maxine, the same thing basically that she called Chad Gable, she then did to them. So, I don't know if we're going to get that big reunion between Chad Gable, Otis, and Tozawa. But again, like I said before, within a perfect world, I said this a few weeks ago when there were like thoughts of Maxine and Austin Theory back when they were doing like that behind the scenes thing, like where they didn't mention it, but we saw them. I would like to see Otis and Tozawa win those tag titles from the Vision.
I can't see that happening.
I mean, they're in the storyline, so...
I mean,
like I said, in my perfect world, I should say.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, especially with Maxine turning on them, but...
Well, but I'm not saying anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, also, I don't know if... I didn't see anybody talking about it, but I'm pretty positive I caught a glimpse of Maxine talking to Austin Theory at the start of Monday Night Raw 2. When Sami Zayn was walking backstage, I'm pretty positive that there was a quick glimpse of the both of them talking in front of one of like the promo screens. Nobody said anything or anything like that, but... So the writing was kind of still there, even from that night.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, it was like in the background, very brief, but I'm pretty positive I noticed that. Yeah, matchup was great, though. I thought it was awesome, and we'll see what happens with all of this. It kind of stinks Street Profits were transition champions, I guess.
People are theorizing that it was such a quick thing because Bianca Belair might be giving birth any day soon, who knows? Which, by the way, did you see the price on her 1-of-1 WrestleMania patch card, auto?
No, how much?
I think it was just under
$30,000. Jeez.
That's crazy.
Wow. That's insane.
I have a just Taz insane. Patch and a, a Shawn Michaels patch. They're not numbered, but...
I got no patches. I got none.
I mean, I have a lot of patches. I have ring mat patches, t-shirt patches.
It was interesting that after the match, how when they saw Paul Heyman backstage, that he just put all of it onto
Maxine, he did
too.
Austin Theory, I believe, thought he was going to get all the credit there, but it was Maxine who got all the credit.
Yeah.
They're not using Maxine there. That's why you see less and less. They don't trust her anymore. They've lost faith in Maxine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about that. Next up, talking about people losing faith in people, Sol Ruka picked up the victory over Raquel Rodriguez to retain her championship, and I thought that it was a good match. I thought it was a fine match.
Raquel Rodriguez, I believe, specifically said she wanted to go out there on her own and do this match, and eventually Roxanne Perez showed up, and she distracted the referee. And when Sol Ruka went for the Soul Snatcher, Liv Morgan held on to Sol Ruka. And then Io came out and took out Roxanne Perez. She took out Liv Morgan. And with that distraction, Sol Ruka was able to hit the Soul Snatcher on Raquel Rodriguez and get the victory. That moonsault, by the way, that Io did, she had such a small space between the championship, like the stand and the commentary table. That was a crazy moonsault that Io hit.
I thought that was risky, too, because I don't even think that she looked back behind him or anything like that. You know?
But that was a nice spot. So Raquel lost her title shot, maybe because the Judgment Day was there when she said not to be there?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Part of me during that match was thinking that Raquel Rodriguez was actually going to beat Sol Ruka for that title. I'm glad that didn't happen. But after that, we had Paul Heyman come out and completely spoke about something else from the Vision, that being Obafemi. And he said Obafemi walks around like he owns the place and he doesn't. And being low blowed is nothing compared to the pain he'll go through inside that Hell in a Cell. And he said, Brock is going to destroy Obafemi. And Obafemi came out, basically told Paul Heyman, like, you're saying all this, say it to my face. And Paul spoke about the trilogy of matches and Brock being unbeatable. And Obafemi said that he knows everything he said got under Brock's skin. He says, I don't watch the show. But he showed up, which means he definitely watches the show. And I like the intensity from Obafemi here.
I agree.
I don't know how many people
is needed too.
Yeah, and I don't know how many people are going into that Hell in a Cell match thinking Brock Lesnar's going to beat Obafemi or not, but
I think that there's a good chance of it because it's in Minnesota. I think that, honestly, with this matchup with the Hell in a Cell,
Brock is beating Oba?
I think it could go either way, to be honest with you.
I think that they could be either way. It can't be either way.
I mean,
I think
it
has
be
to be Obafemi.
It shouldn't be, but I think...
Why shouldn't it be Obafemi? What are you talking about?
No, it shouldn't be either way. Like, it should be Obafemi, but
I don't think it'll be Brock.
Them,
at this point, they're specifically talking about the trilogy of matches. There's no title on the line. There's nothing involving, like, the championship.
I could see them having Brock go over, too.
I don't. That would be awful.
Don't put it past them.
Like to put it past that.
Next up, you had Rusev and Ethan Page pick up the victory over Chad Gable and Dragon Lee. This matchup, backstage, you had a little altercation too. Chad Gable still not being able to build up the trust fully.
But Rusev and Ethan Page attacked them before the match. I liked Chad Gable doing that overhead belly to belly to launch Dragon Lee onto them outside the ring. But eventually Rusev locked the Accolade in on
Dragon
Lee,
I think. Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, they haven't done it in a long time, but I feel like at that point that should have been a reverse decision. Especially when Ethan Page joined in. Chad Gable tried to break it up. Ethan Page joined in.
I thought that they actually were going to reverse because commentary made mention saying that Rusev better watch out because they could reverse the decision.
But they didn't do that. And then Joe Hendry came out and at first took them out, but they came back. they're all in the number one contender match for the Intercontinental Championship next week. I believe it's a gauntlet. I thought Javon Evans was also going to make an appearance here, but that didn't happen.
Huh. I didn't even think about Javon Evans during
that. Because I'm almost certain he's also in that gauntlet match.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the main event comes.
That makes sense.
We're waiting. Sami Zayn's in the ring waiting to find out who his opponent will be in Chicago. Defending the WWE Championship on Monday Night Raw for some reason. SmackDown Championship, SmackDown Superstar. The garage gate lifts up. CM Punk.
The crowd goes crazy, though.
Absolutely electric crowd. But I think I said it earlier, the writing was on the wall. So, yeah. Part of me really couldn't care less about this match.
So, even though the writing was on the wall, I cared about the match because it was a really good match, but I feel like the outcome going into it, you kind of already knew.
I liked Sammy hitting the go to sleep. I liked CM Punk using the Huluva kick. He hit the GTS, though, gets the victory. I mean, people are saying that the match was always supposed to be Cody versus CM Punk at SummerSlam. So maybe we will see Gunther versus Nick Aldis, but it sucks that Sammy's championship reign was 9 days. He didn't even defend the title. A lot of people are like, how dare they do this? CM Punk makes no sense. Like, they're in Chicago. They needed to find a last-minute replacement for Cody Rhodes, who got taken out, and then 2+ hours later, or what, maybe 2 hours or so later, Adam Pearce found a replacement.
I mean, it sucks
Nick Aldis found a replacement.
It sucks about the title ring being so short, but on the other hand, I said it last week, I don't know. I think that there was a glass ceiling.
Or Adam Pearce, I forget. I don't think so, I think though. I feel like they could have 100% had at least one title defense.
But even for me personally, I don't think that there would be anything to draw me into Sami Zayn as WWE champion right now. But also, he is now a Grand Slam champion, which is pretty cool.
But it's been 13 years since CM Punk has held the WWE Championship. He last held it in 2013, lost it to The Rock. None of us, I don't think we wanted The Rock to win that championship. So, CM Punk's going to SummerSlam, most likely against Cody Rhodes.
Could be more.
I feel like how do you make sense of it to not put Sami Zayn in that as well?
Yeah, could be a triple threat, could be a fatal four-way.
And then, of course, I mean, we don't know anything. SmackDown didn't happen yet, but Saturday night's main event could easily add CM Punk versus Sami Zayn in a rematch or something like that, but we shall see. Moving to NXT, it opened with Callie Armstrong cutting a promo, and she said that she's ready for the NXT Championship. Lola Vice came out and said that she's getting the championship back before she gets a title shot. And then Kalani Jordan came out and said that neither of them deserve a shot. This came to blows. Kalani Jordan came out on top, and they made a triple threat match for next week to see who's going to be facing Kendall Gray. I thought that was a strong open.
Yeah, for her time on the mic to open up NXT, I thought it was a good showing for her. But next up, you had Sean Legacy, Dorian Vandu defeat Dark State, OTM, and Birthright to become the number one contenders.
This was all chaos. Dark State, though, I think controlled a good chunk of this match. Saquon Sugars made his way out, but Dion Lennox held him back. And then, stupidly, Birthright and OTM brawled off to the back, leaving Uriah Connors alone. And Dorian Von Dukes ends up hitting the splash. And Sean Legacy hit that springboard 450 and got the victory there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saquon Sugars was interviewed afterwards, and he said that he needs to find backup for to take on Dark State. I don't know what that's going to lead to.
It's a smart decision.
We'll see.
Get that backup. But next up, you had Keanu Carver pick of the victory over Tank. I mean, you kind of figured this one.
Yeah, but this is what I spoke about last week, where like this dominant side of Carver kind of disappeared in his matches. This was closer to a Brock Lesnar or Obafemi. Even with the offense that Tank had, this was much more what I think we need to see from Keanu Carver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I want to see too, is that dominant wrestler in the ring.
We had a video from Naraku, and he said Tony D'Angelo escaped the punishment at Great American Bash, but he wants to know how far Tony will go to protect that championship. And he also said that Tony has no idea what he's capable of. So I think all signs will lead to Naraku beating Tony D'Angelo for that championship.
I can see that.
Who knows?
Yeah, I can see that. Next up, you had Layla Diggs pick up the victory over Lizzie Rain, Thea Hale, and Izzy Dame to become the number one contender.
I was
surprised that Diggs got the win.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting Layla Diggs to win that match at all. But she told Natty that she wanted to go out there without Carmen, Natty, and Nikita Lyons. And she did that. And I thought this was a very well done match. This could have easily been on a premium live event.
Mm-hmm.
I think her unique moveset is so good. I like the spot where Thea Hale and Layla, they both hit the splashes to try to win. The senton spots from Thea Hale and Izzy Dame I thought were good. The crucifix pin from Thea Hale literally out of nowhere I thought was nice. But Lizzie Rain hit Thunderstruck on Thea Hale. Izzy Dame took Lizzie out. Ends up, falling or rolling out of the ring. And then Layla Diggs hit that moonsault on Thea Hale and got the victory there. But I thought that was such a well-done match. And I'm excited to see what's next for Layla Diggs.
Yeah, same here.
After that, we had a video from the former Nikki Blackheart just introducing herself. She's now Reina Volcan. I don't know why they didn't have that last week.
Yeah, did you see her message about like the meaning behind her name?
I didn't see the meaning, but I saw that she said that it's not Queen of Volcanoes. Sometimes things don't need to be translated.
Yeah. And then she also mentioned how, like, the name Blackheart meant a lot to her.
Oh, Blackheart, I saw that part. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, trained by Gangrel, and I guess that was part of his name in Japan.
But she said she steps into the ring to dominate, so we'll see what happens with her. After that, we had a segment with Tavion Heights, and he said that he's man enough to admit when he's wrong, and said that he's been jealous of the success that Miles Bourne has. And he was afraid to be forgotten. So he wanted to apologize to Miles, and the Vanity Project came out instead. And Jackson Drake said that Tavion Heights only beat him because Miles was there. And if he was in that match against Miles, he would be champion right now. And that led to Tavion Heights attacking Jackson Drake, Brad Baylor, and Ricky Smokes. However, he got beat down. And Miles Bourne made the save. Will they find a third person there to face the Vanity Project? What's going to happen there? Are we just going to see Tavion Heights versus Jackson Drake?
That's tough to say. I think it could end up that way. You know?
After that, we saw Nico Vance pick up the victory over Shiloh Hill, which I was surprised to see that as well. But Nico controlled a lot of this match. Tristan Angel showed up. He took Shiloh's tooth. And that was the distraction that led to Nico Vance getting the victory there. Afterwards, Sean Spears showed up and clocked Nico Vance with a chair. A lot of people were like, oh, Sean Spears is done with WWE. Not the case.
Like, I don't think so.
Earlier,
it doesn't look like it to me.
Backstage, you had Jada Parker say that she spoke about Natty, and she said Natty has been in her head, but she doesn't need to be like Natty. And we go to that main event where Kendall Gray successfully retains that championship against Natty. In, I think, a great first title defense for Kendall Gray. It was very even. But we saw Carmen Petrovich. We saw Nikita Lyons. Both of them got involved. Ren Sinclair fought with them. Lola Vice ran out to join, and they all brawled to the back. I liked all the submissions and the counters between the two of them. Natty at one point caught Kendall from a dive with a sharpshooter, and she eventually gets to the ropes to break it. They traded pins, and then Kendall hits the Shades of Grey to get the victory there. And I was such a fan of this match, and afterwards, Jada Parker showed up. Nikita Lyons and Carmen Petrovich showed up again. They got knocked down. And then Kalani Jordan and Callie Armstrong surrounded Kendall to tease their match for next week. So, I thought that was a well-done NXT main event. I thought the women on this episode absolutely killed it.
I was going to say, I think it's great that they opened it up with Callie Armstrong. The middle, you had that huge number one contendership bout, and then you closed with the women too. I think that it was star-studded. It was great, and I like that you closed that out. Also, you involved Natty.
Yeah.
You know? Great episode of NXT, though.
So that is NXT. We're not doing SmackDown this week, so we'll just cover the basics next week. And right now, we'll take a quick little break, and I'll be right back here on Markin' Out.
Hey, it's Cassidy Pope, and you're listening to Markin' Out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Markin' Out, episode 805. Moving back to AAA from last week, it opened with Rey Mysterio, and he said the vision for AAA is even bigger than ever. He wants it to be a place for the biggest stars in the world. And then he brought out Damian Priest. And Damian Priest said that he's there to dominate. When he said all rise, literally everybody got up and rose. And I thought it was a good reception for Damian Priest. What he's going to be doing there yet, I don't know. But like I said the other week, I have to assume him and R-Truth are going to win those tag titles. We saw Lady Shani pick up the victory over Flammer. I think it was nice to see a match with Lady Shani again. It's been 4 months, and I think she has a lot of unique moves, especially for television. So it's always entertaining to watch that. I was kind of surprised that she won. Flammer controlled most of this, and she tried to use the title. Catalina grabbed it away, and that's when Lady Shani was able to hit the backstabber and the iconoclasm and get the victory there. He had El Grande Americano address Los Perros del Mal, and he said he'll be waiting for them next week. He won't be alone. I don't know who he'll be with. We saw Mr. Iguana and La Parca pick up the victory over Money Machine and Dinamico and Drago. This, I thought, was a good match. La Parca and Mr. Iguana super over. So I thought they were obviously the only ones who had a shot at winning this. But I think Money Machine is underutilized right now. I think they're a really good tag team in AAA. That backdrop suplex rolled into the German suplex from La Parca, I thought, was awesome. The cartwheel arm drag off the turnbuckle, sending Dinamico off the apron, I thought was great as well. overall, like I said, I enjoy this match. The main event, we saw El Fiscal versus Abismo Negro Jr. Ended in no contest. I think for what they gave us, this is what you could have expected from them, but obviously a lot shorter. Carmen Petrovic showed up, and then Los Perros del Mal attacked both of them, really solidifying that we're here to put everybody on notice. Moving over to TNA Impact, kicked off with the Hardy Boys, picking up the victory over Order 4 to retain the Tag Team Championships. This was a big match for the Great Hands, and they made it look like they could win, but there was a 0% chance they were winning the titles here. You got the Twist of Fate, Swanton, 1-2-3. Mustafa Ali came out afterwards and made a phone call. He was not happy. And then we saw him later on telling somebody to set up a meeting for next week, so we'll see what that's about. You had the King's Speech, where Moose was Frankie Kazarian's guest, and they spoke about last week, and Moose was like, no, stop. My family's fine. And Moose spoke about what's next, and eventually Frankie Kazarian asked Moose if he was stupid for calling himself the face of TNA when he's in the ring with Frankie Kazarian. And then Frankie Kazarian ran down his accolades, and Moose challenged him to a match. Frankie Kazarian said no, and then brought out AJ Francis. And then Moose challenged him to a match. That Expressions guy was with AJ Francis again, yelled at Moose, and then accepted a match for next week. You saw Indy Hartwell pick up the victory over Vicious Vicky Venuto to advance in that Knockouts TV title tournament. I'm glad that they did the promos for everybody during the entrances. I think it was a good introduction for Vicky, in case you didn't know her. And I thought this was a good match. The fans were behind Vicky at one point. That kind of surprised me. But Indy hit the Hertz Donut to get the victory and advance. I feel like Indy should be in the finals with Mara Sade. You had Ricky Sosa, Leon Slater pick up the victory over the Righteous and the System. I think Ricky Sosa and Leon Slater were a very fun team to watch here. That kick from Leon Slater to Brian Myers to stop the spear I thought was absolutely great. But this match got chaotic. Dutch and Bear Bronson going at it I thought was nice. I really liked that running shoulder block off the apron from Bear Bronson. But Leon Slater and Ricky Sosa picked up the victory there. You had Jody Thread pick up the victory over Gabby Forza to advance in that tournament. I think it was awesome to see Gabby Forza here. It would have been cool if she advanced. I think her and Vicky would be great additions to that TNA Knockouts roster. But they did a good job showing off Gabby's strength here. And I feel like we rarely see spots where two women run at one another and they don't knock each other down. We do see it, but it's pretty rare. So I like that aspect of the match. And in the end, Jody Thread, she hit that pop, shove it, got the victory. And she advances in that tournament. Casey Navarro came out and spoke, and he said that he looked up to Nick Nemeth once, but Nick turned on him. And he doesn't know what he did to deserve that. He called Nick out for answers, and then Nick said that he did believe in Casey Navarro at one point. He thought he could make Casey Navarro a star, but then he realized that Casey Navarro didn't even deserve to stand near him. And then Ryan Nemeth attacked Casey Navarro. So we're going to see more with that. I thought that was a very good fired up promo from Casey Navarro, though. And then in the main event, we saw Xia Brookside pick up the victory over Lei Ying Lee in a no DQ match to retain the championship. Lee attacked Xia Brookside before the bell rang. But I feel like this match could have been better if it was commercial free. I also feel like this wasn't brutal enough for a no DQ match between the two of them. And I don't think it was a bad match. I just think it could have been different and better. But Lei Ying Lee set Xia Brookside up on a pile of chairs. She missed the landing, so she landed on the chairs. Brookside clocked her with the title. Lei Ying Lee kicked out. In the end, Lei Ying Li ends up punching the chair, and Xi Brookside hits Darkside onto that chair to get the victory. So you get the title defense for Xi Brookside. Hopefully that's it between the two of them. I don't know if it is, but I feel like that has to be it. So that's TNA. Hey, Brandon, got any shout-outs?
Why did the chicken cross the road to listen to Brandon's shout-outs? Waka waka.
Life, Larry, and the Pursuit of Unhappiness gets the first shout-out, but it is borderline anti-shout-out, and I feel really bad saying that. Have you seen anything like this? Anything of it?
No.
On HBO?
Uh-uh.
The trailer, I thought, looked great, but the execution of this show, it just leaves me wanting Curb Your Enthusiasm. And it's not. It's Larry David in a sketch comedy show about American history. And it's 7 episodes. All of them will be out by August 7th. I'll continue watching it because I'm a fan. Like, I'm a huge fan of Larry David. But this show, it hasn't been great. Episode 2 was better than episode 1, but, and the cast is great. Sam Jackson narrates it. Barack Obama's one of the producers, so he has appeared on it, but you have curb casts like Richard Kind, Susie Essman, Jeff Garland, J.B. Smoove, Jerry Seinfeld. You have Henry Winkler, Alan Tudyk. You have Lin-Manuel Miranda, Journey Smollett, Bill Hader. So many others are on this show. But if you take The History of the World Part 2 and mix it with Curb Your Enthusiasm and mix or use Drunk History as an outline, that's what I feel like this show is. And I use part two instead of part one for History of the World because that was formatted for TV. So it's like, it leaves you wanting something that you're not going to get. And it could, I feel like it could have been
with it.
I feel like it could have been better. My next shout out goes to Not Suitable for Work, which is now out on Hulu. The full series is out. It was created by Mindy Kaling, and it's loosely based on her early 20s living in New York City. But it follows 5 people in their 20s. They all work in different fields like TV journalism, fashion, finance, and acting. It's a comedy, but there's like, it's kind of like heavy on the rom-com stuff, and I do hope it gets picked up for a second season. I enjoyed this show, so if you like those sort of like workplace but also like home life rom-com comedy sort of shows, I think you'll enjoy this. Another shout out goes to The Bear, which I can't say enough good things about this show. I absolutely hate that it's over. The full season is out on Hulu. The final season takes place. What?
I never got into it. I heard that. I know everybody like watches it and everybody likes it though.
Yeah, because it's really
I thought
good.
It was a reality TV show at first.
No. But the final season takes place over a single day of one final service. And on it's just a phenomenal show. I think Jeremy Allen White, Io Edebiri, Eben Moss Bacharach, Abby Elliott, Matt Matheson, Oliver Platt, Jamie Lee Curtis are all absolutely fantastic. If you've never seen the show, they work at a sandwich shop that turns into a restaurant. Jeremy Allen White's character is chasing a Michelin star, and it has so many awards. It's comedy, it's drama. I feel like you need to watch this TV show.
No, okay.
Sometimes it can be a little slow, but not really that slow.
Mm-hmm.
So, it really sucks that it's over. And I thought the ending was perfect. I was very happy with that.
I guess we're going to find out whether or not he gets a star.
You'll see. My last shout out goes to Bonnie Tyler, who unfortunately passed away this week at the age of 75. She had such a unique voice, and I really wish I could have seen her perform live. I never had the opportunity to do that, but she had huge hits like Total Eclipse of the Heart, It's a Heartache, Holding Out for a Hero. She has a really good cover of Have You Ever Seen the Rain? She also had a song, If You Were a Man and If You Were a Woman and I Was a Man, that was reworked by the songwriter Desmond Child and Bon Jovi to then become You Give Love a Bad Name. So I think that's a cool, interesting fact. But her voice and timeless music, it'll continue to live on. I mean, you see new generations discovering her music, even if you don't know it's Bonnie Tyler.
Legendary songs.
She's literally on TikTok right now. She's viral. She's been viral because of what is that that movie, A Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Total Eclipse
I
of
you were
the Heart.
Say Old School.
Who sang it in Old School?
They have the remake of that song.
But who sang it?
Total Eclipse of the Heart. Oh, I don't know. That cover band.
Oh, right. The Dan Band, I believe. That's who it was.
Yeah. The cover band.
So, yeah, it's unfortunate. Go listen to Bonnie Tyler's music. And go check out the other shows that I spoke about in my shout-outs. Now it's time for That is right, our mark out moment of the week. What do you have?
I mean, CM Punk coming back. I think that was a nice moment, you know, especially in front of the Chicago crowd. I mean, definitely not a mark out moment. Kenny Omega's champion in AEW world. What about you?
Well, we would not be the number one Taylor Swift pro wrestling podcast if we didn't speak about Taylor Swift's, I almost said pro wrestling wedding. Taylor Swift's wedding at Madison Square Garden. You have all this news start trickling out about the wedding. Paul McCartney apparently performed I Want to Hold Your Hand live for the first time in 62 years, not since being a Beatle. The Beatles have not performed that song ever since 1964, I believe. And he performed it at Taylor Swift's wedding. I hope there's footage of that. I don't know if they'll ever release footage of her wedding. Nor should they, but that one part, can you?
Yeah, they have that NDA. I don't think anybody's going to... I mean, if that ever gets out there, somebody's getting sued.
I don't think you were allowed to have your phone. There was like a certain spot where you were allowed to have your phone.
Yeah, I think that they collected all phones and stuff like that.
But
did you see that it's crazy how people are paying for trash now?
What?
Yeah, there is some guy selling trash from her wedding in little cubes. That says, like, Taylor Swift's, Taylor, whatever, wedding and the date.
How is that verifiable?
I don't know. Apparently, the guy's making a lot of money selling it to just a bunch of marks.
I saw a video that I thought was absolutely hilarious of
the one
there was
the
a
cake
group
outside
of people. They're waiting outside, and the, I guess
that was
like
so
a,
pathetic.
It's a pastry chef or whatever they are, and a bakery. And they're like begging for, like, they're begging to know what the flavor of the cake was. They weren't asking for the food. The person in the truck in the van offered up the food, if I'm not mistaken. And they're eating, it looks like a peach pastry of some sort. But it reminds me of an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where Larry and Cheryl throw a party. And the next morning, Larry goes looking for apple turnovers that were so delicious. And he can't find them. And Cheryl's like, they're in the refrigerator, Larry. And he's like looking. And then she goes and looks. They're not there. The chicken's missing. And then, like, all the food he ends, like, there, most of the food or all of the food is no longer there. He ends up going to the caterer, and she ends up giving, she gave the food to Jeff. They were in, like, cahoots together or something. So then he goes to Jeff's house, I guess scares Jeff. Jeff wasn't expecting him. He goes, oh, those are the turnovers. He goes, oh, here, yeah, pull them up. I was gonna drop these off at your house. He's, like, sitting there eating all of it. I thought that was really funny. That's what it reminded me of. Like, the next day, Taylor Swift will be like, where's the peach pastry?
Yeah, I saw that. Their reactions were just a little bit
absurd. I mean, not everybody got to have food from Taylor Swift's wedding.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is, it's quite over the top.
I'm sorry that we couldn't go.
Mm. Yeah. I've seen some people accidentally deleted the text message.
What do you mean?
They got a mysterious text message with details about the wedding, and they didn't think anything of it and deleted it. And then they ended up not going. I believe multiple people that happened to. One of them, I forget, I don't know if Maren Morris said it at one point, that she actually ended up going, but somebody else deleted it and didn't go.
That's weird.
Well, because it was such a mysterious text message. It's like, who's, like, it's a random number you don't know.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I don't even have a wrestling-related mark-out moment. If you want to mark out for anything, CM Punk with the 13 years, Taylor Swift wedding date, blah, blah, blah. Or not date, but Taylor Swift's wedding. And then everyone comes out afterwards. Oh, how dare she announce it on the billboard at Madison Square Garden? How dare she do this? How dare they do this? How dare they do that? And it's like, it didn't affect you at all.
Yeah.
They closed down that one block. It did not affect you.
I mean, the one thing that I'm kind of upset is, Michael Rubin, we know you're listening. What the heck? Why didn't we? Brandon, did you get that invite?
I feel like we should have done a better job last year getting the invite for the white party this year.
That's okay. We'll get to the... There's always next year. We'll go to the white party next year. But
and even
it was
still,
interesting
do they
to
serve,
see, like,
do they serve food at that white party? Because, like...
Dude, I didn't see any... I actually was trying to look for that, too. Like, the background of the pictures and stuff. I saw some drinks, but there was, like, no food.
Because it's super risky eating anything with a white shirt on.
I mean, when you're that filthy rich, I mean, do you care, though?
Yeah, you don't want to, because it's one of the most photographed events. You don't want to be photographed in a dirty-ass shirt.
That's true.
You have
Roman Reigns
on your pants,
there.
Get out of here.
Paul,
you're
Jake Paul. Yeah, we had the Roman Reigns and the Paul brothers representing WWE.
Maybe next year. Yeah, Jake Paul's representing WWE.
I mean, the roster of attendees is just insane. You had Kat, you had Mike Tyson, Tom Brady. It was just so, seemed so random at moments.
That's what a New York party is, though. I mean, that's Taylor Swift's wedding seemed kind of random too. And that's another thing. People are like, why was such and such person there? It's like, who cares? What's it to you?
Yeah, Adam Sandler being the officiant.
Yeah, that was awesome. People bring a religion into it. How dare she has this? Have Adam Sandler do that? It's like, you're not them. Who are you to say any of this?
Sounds like peanut butter and jealous.
It honestly does. It truly does. And then there's, like, the Daily Mail. The people writing the articles and putting out all their tweets come off psychotic. They truly come off as needing help. It's crazy. It's truly crazy. She doesn't affect you at all. And they're like, this is negative. This is negative. No, it's not. It doesn't affect you. And then they donated $26 million or whatever to a bunch of different charities. Well, why didn't they donate to this? Why didn't they donate to this? Who are you? It makes no sense.
And also, why not all donations are going to be public. And they shouldn't be.
Right, yeah.
You know, they shouldn't be. Leave these people alone. Just stop. Leave them alone. Let them be happy. You know, this is why they did it in a venue where it's such strict security, because they know that if they did it on a beach in whoever knows where, paparazzi or fans, crazy fans, are going to find their way to get in on it.
Yeah.
Chill out.
And there's like all these like IWC-esque stories coming out about the wedding that people are like debunking as like completely false. It's crazy that these stories are getting put out there. Everyone has that
chill
like
out.
Yeah, it's so goofy.
Just like her song, you gotta chill out.
What song is that?
There's one line where you gotta send it down, da 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 da. You're getting too loud. I don't know. I don't know.
You need to
calm
down.
I'll have to get
down.
Back to you on that one. Yeah, you need to calm down. That's what it is.
Well, that is the Mark Out moment of the week. How many other times do you think Paul McCartney has performed that in private and we just didn't hear about it?
I mean, it's very possible. I mean, why wouldn't he in private?
I don't know. There are a few other Beatles songs that they've never done, like, outside of the Beatles. And like, She Loves You, they've never done that.
Yeah.
That seems like a slam dunk sort of song to perform live.
True. Well, some songs, maybe he just can't perform at the same level.
I think somebody said that even though they didn't do, like, he split vocals, I guess, with John on some of those songs, but people were saying maybe he hasn't performed these because of that reason, because John's not here.
Oh.
But I would really... In 2026, I would really like to hear what that sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, talking about hearing people singing and stuff like that, you see that stuff about David Lee Roth, too?
No.
Oof. Oof, oof, oof.
Are you going to say what?
No, it just sounded awful. Mm. But also, I feel like everybody's going to these concerts expecting people that are in their 70s to sound like they were in their 20s or 30s. It's not going to happen, you know? You just take it for what it is.
Some people still sound really great.
Who?
Did you say who? As if, yeah. Like, that's not true?
Well, I mean, like, who at that, like, older
like,
age?
I'll say Dion sounds absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he still sounds... Obviously, his voice is older, but at his age, it still sounds really good. He's in his 80s.
Wow.
And he's not lip syncing or anything. He sounds really, really good.
So you're saying he's not like Frankie Valli right now?
Yeah, that's all unfortunate. I'll say another, it's like, obviously it sounds a little different than when he was in his teens, 20s, or whatever. Mickey Dolenz, he's in his 80s. He still sounds relatively good.
From the Monkees?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, it still sounds like, if I go to that show, it still sounds like I'm watching or listening to the Monkees. So there are artists out there who haven't, like, noticeably changed that much.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's artists who I've gone to see. I've seen The Who. Obviously, their voices are different, but it's still a very enjoyable concert. I've seen Paul McCartney a few times. I've seen Ringo Starr.
Speaking of Ringo, I think he just turned like 80.
He turned 86.
Just celebrated birthday.
86 years old. And they announced a tour,
86,
too, as well.
Wow.
He's going to be right here in Forest Hills Stadium in October.
That's crazy.
And I would say go. If you're like a fan of the Beatles, go. So, hopefully that footage of Paul McCartney comes out. Just that footage of Paul McCartney.
You know, like, I just want to see that.
Yeah, like, people are like, where's the dress? How dare she not post her dress? And then they're posting all this AI garbage and stuff. It's like, get over yourself, brother. She doesn't owe you anything.
Mm-hmm.
She's an evil billionaire. How dare she?
But that is Marking Out episode 805. You could check us out on Twitter at Marking Out, at BTTG161 on all platforms, at Chris Sweeney Dog, CMSweeney85, David PTDPT on all platforms, Facebook.com/Marking Out, YouTube and Instagram are Marking Out 11, ProWrestlingTees.com/Marking Out if you'd like to support us like that. You could follow us on TikTok at Marking Out. You could rate, review, subscribe to the only Marking Out podcast, MarkingOut.com. You could listen to us there. You could rate, review, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and we wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors. Have a fantastic week.